Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are back. Glenn Mason is standing by. I want to tell the people on hold and the people who are waiting to call in, we will have one segment after talking to Glenn Mason. The one after that will be your phone call. So if you want to join Ken and Blaine, this would be a good time to call us, 651-989-9226. I want to thank Glenn Mason for joining us. Glenn, we really didn't have a chance to do a post-mortem on the Big Ten season, particularly I'd like your thoughts on the Big Ten West and kind of what you see ahead for the Big Ten West.
Well, you know, who could have predicted the Big Ten West this year, Dave? You think about it, I think most everybody, me included, had, you know, Wisconsin just tiptoeing all the way to Indianapolis to make another return trip there. And obviously that didn't happen. But who could have figured Northwestern winning the West by three games? Not winning it, but by three games. And my translation to that is that if there was ever a year for someone to come out of nowhere to win the West Division, it was this year. You know, going forward, I think that the West Division is going to get tougher because I think the team farthest west and by the name of Nebraska is getting better. I think Scott Frost is absolutely the perfect guy for that job. We all know the commitment that they have at Nebraska to the sport of football. They have a guy that I think before it's all said and done will find his name in the Heisman Trophy conversation in Adrian Martinez. But I think that Nebraska is going to be back to be a force in the West Division.
How about the Ohio State coach resigning? Were you surprised with that?
You know, Sid, that's a great question. I was and I wasn't. I, like many people, have watched Urban Meyer on the sideline, and it's been excruciating to watch him because of his health reasons. I really thought, and I had no inside information, but I thought if he would have gotten beat by Michigan this year, he might have just hung it up, but he ended up putting 62 points on him. I didn't see that one coming, and then beating Northwestern in the championship game, and I thought that he might come out and say that 2019 – would be his last year, but lo and behold, he decided to retire. And as you might remember, he retired back in Florida when he was head coach of the University of Florida to unretire a short time after that. And then after the next season, he retired again. So I don't know if this is for him or not, but so I was not surprised that he retired. I was surprised he retired at this time.
Coach, does winning the Axe help the Gophers in recruiting, and if it does, how much does it help? And does it also help curb some negative recruiting against the Gophers?
I think it helps all the way around. You know, that that series, that great rivalry, has been just, you know, one-sided. And you know, because of the location of Wisconsin being a border state, sure. I mean, you know, in recruiting, there are no friends in recruiting, and anything that you can say that's factual, I guess, maybe isn't negative, but I'm sure that when you got into recruiting battles and it was down in Wisconsin with one of the schools, they'd say, hey, you know, why would you want to go there? They'll never, you know, win the Axe again. But, you know, so it'll help there. But the other thing, it gives you a spark of enthusiasm. You know, it's you can just imagine not only internally but externally how many people are excited that the Axe is back in the Twin Cities. So it's a visible sign. And, you know, P.J. Fleck keeps saying that the program's getting better. A lot of people can't see it, but he keeps saying that it's getting better. But when you win a game like that and you bring the Axe back, they feel that the program is going in the right direction.
Glenn, a two-part question. First of all, yes or no, are you a candidate for the open job at Ohio State? And then secondly, when I look back at your career, and now the Gophers are going to play maybe not a highest-tier bowl, but they're playing Georgia Tech, a name that resonates with a lot of people. You look back, and you get victories over Arkansas, Alabama, Oregon. I mean, people remember those, and I think, you know, getting Georgia Tech, there's a lot of people going to watch that game with interest.
Well, you know, first of all, the Ohio State job is closed. Ryan Day's got that job.
Oh, all right.
And my coaching days are passing. I'm a media personality now, if you haven't noticed.
Ooh, I like it.
But, you know, I think that Minnesota's got a tough draw there in Georgia Tech. And I say that because of their option offense is so unusual. They haven't faced anything like that this year. They haven't faced anything like that in recent memory. For anybody that's listening, if you watched the Army-Navy game yesterday, which is always a great college spectacle, that's what they're going to see, those type of offenses. Both those coaches, the Army coach, the Navy coach, he's the coach for Paul Johnson, who was at Navy and had great success there. This will be Paul Johnson's last year. He's announced his retirement. This will be his last game. But if you get out of whack defensively against that offense, it can be an awful long day.
Changing coaches make that much difference in the defense?
Well, it sure did in this case. You know, like I always said, if things don't work out well, you know, the coach gets the criticism. And so if it works out it, on a positive side, they ought to get the credit. But you know, I think that, you know, at least from my observation from a distance, and I really didn't study it, and I had their game that was just a debacle against the University of Illinois when Reggie Corbin ran up and down the field like there was no defense out there. You know, to me, they seemed somewhat confused. They had trouble getting lined up. I surmised that they were trying to adjust their defense to every different formation that they saw, which can be get very complicated. And I think Joe Rossi and P.J. Fleck simplified the offense where guys knew what they were supposed to do. And when you know what you're supposed to do, you can worry about playing physical and playing fast. So I think that was the big difference.
Are NFL teams copying the NCAA football spread offenses and more wide open style and the Philly special and all that stuff? And could you talk about the kind of the migration between who steals from whom, college to pro coaches on schemes?
That is absolutely a great observation on your part. I used to argue all the time. I'd say, you know, the college game is so much better than the pro game. Some people would say, well, you're anti-pro football. I'm not. I'm just calling it like I saw it. I thought that, you know, a lot of those NFL offenses, they were carbon copies of each other, pro passing attacks. And now you see more and more of the college influence in the pro game. Watch it. You'll see running quarterbacks. You'll see zone reads. You'll see run pass options. Those are all college plays. The fire screen, the bubble screen, all those things that we've watched in college football for years and years and years are finding their way into pro football. So I don't know who's copying who, but from an offensive standpoint, you're seeing a lot more of the college influence in pro football, which will dictate what the pro defenses are doing. You know, if you don't have to worry about a running quarterback, you don't have to worry about option football. You talk to any defensive coordinator, man, you're free to do just about what you want. You have to deal with those other issues. You have to be a lot more sound.
Glenn, good observation. There's a wonderful article in Sports Illustrated about 10 days back about the future of various sports and the future of Kansas City in there and what they're doing at scouting small colleges. They stole one play they love from North Dakota State. They acknowledge it. They are living on the tape of college games, trying to find plays they haven't used before, more people in motion. It's a fascinating article. Glenn, my last question before we turn over to Sid to wrap things up. You called the Gophers to win the last two games of the year. In fact, you were in a minority, but you said they were going to win both of those games, and you picked the Wisconsin game. What are your thoughts on Minnesota going forward?
Well, you know, I mean, it's well documented. I don't know how many times you've heard P.J. Fleck says they're a young football team, that they might be the youngest football team in the country. I don't know if that's, you know, true or not. I know Illinois took exception to that when I brought that up when I did their game. And I know that, you know, David, it's amazing. We used to worry about freshmen playing, you know, college football. Well, everybody's playing freshmen. You talk about rookies playing in the NFL. Rookies play each and every week. But in saying that, I think they have an excellent nucleus coming back. Sure, they're going to lose some, you know, really key players like that Blake Cashman, who I've been high on, you know, for years playing, you know, linebacker. But, you know, Tanner Morgan should be better. They're going to be loaded at running back. The offensive line's getting better. I think that Tyler Johnson's as good as any wide receiver in the league. I think if they can stay healthy, they get Antoine Winfield Jr. back. And you look at the schedule, which is always very important. I think my memory has me right. They don't have to play Ohio State. They don't have to play Michigan. They don't have to play Michigan State as crossover games. That's a pretty good draw. So I think that next year should be an awful good year for the Gophers.
Okay, the offense that Georgia Tech runs is something that the Gophers never see. How? You ask them that? Okay. All right, for being on the show, we'll get you another. You can have a party at Murray's. Best steakhouse in town. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
And thank you, media personality Glenn Mason. All right. Always good to catch up with Mace. All right, we'll be back. We've got one more interview coming up, and then your phone calls and text messages in the second segment out. This would be a good time to get on hold. 651-989-9226. 989-9226. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Eric. All right, we are back, and we said we had one more interview we wanted to catch on. Harrison Smith had some interesting thoughts on tomorrow night's game with Seattle. Let's listen in.
What kind of a position do you think this team is now when it comes to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, statistically and everything, we're still there, and we just got to focus on taking care of business from here on out.
How do you think the defense is playing right now?
I mean, we're doing some good things, but we can still, you know, help determine ball games a little bit better. So, just got to keep tightening things up and running to the ball and hitting and causing havoc.
Brady is the toughest quarterback you've gone against.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those Super Bowls for a reason. So he's the man.
What makes him so good?
Just knowing where to go with the ball, getting his team in the right plays. He's a winner. He finds the best way to win.
You have great wide receivers, too?
The Seattle or the Patriots?
Good wide receiver. New England?
Yeah, yeah. And they got Gronk and those guys, so they're a good team.
Well, what about Seattle now? What did the scouting report about them?
Yeah, you know, They're leading the league in rushing yards per game, so that's kind of where everything starts. And then you obviously got Russell Wilson, who can chuck the ball down the field and make plays on his own. They have talented guys outside, guys that have made a lot of plays over the years, and you know Baldwin and Lockett. They got three good backs that are doing a great job running the ball.
Wilson, talk about him as a quarterback.
Hey, he's a playmaker. You know, he's you know, they're running the ball a lot, but when he gets, you know, kind of gets the ability to get the ball down the field, he's on the money with all his throws and doesn't, you know, turn the ball over much. So he's doing a great job.
He can move around pretty good, can he?
Yeah, he's an athletic guy that, you know, can run, you know, if it's there, or can run to create throws. But he's got a talented arm and does a great job with that.
Do they have good wide receivers, Seattle?
Yeah, kind of like I mentioned, you know, Baldwin, I think, has been, you know, he's one of the toughest competitors in the league, and he's talented and can make a ton of plays, and Lockett as well. So those guys on the outside are very good players.
The injuries to cornerbacks, that's kind of hurt you guys, hasn't it?
You never want to have injuries, obviously, but that's part of the game, and we got a lot of confidence in the guys that come in and step in when somebody goes down. So you don't want injuries. You want to have all your guys out there, but, you know, it's how the game goes sometimes.
What are you trying to improve on this year?
I'm trying to get to the playoffs. That's all I care about.
You think You have to beat Seattle, you have to beat the Bears, you have four tough games coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that's how the schedule's set, but right now all we can do is focus on Seattle, so that's all we're going to do, is take this game right here and treat it as the most important one.
What's interesting is last week all four Central Division teams lost. That's unusual.
Yeah, I saw somewhere it's only happened like a couple times or something where they all lost in 1 week. So, yeah, that's unusual.
Does your pass defense have to improve?
I mean, we want to improve everywhere, you know. I think we've done a lot of good things this year, but you can always improve. You can always create more turnovers, cover guys a little tighter on certain plays.
Big problem is that the receivers' rules are all in favor of them, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's how it is for every defense, you know. So you still want to be the best, no matter, you know, kind of how inflated some things are, I guess.
This team is not playing like they played last year, right?
I don't know. You know, I don't really compare year to year. That doesn't do me much good. So I just care about right now. And right now we're in a position where we control our own destiny. So that's all I care about.
How much do you call the defenses during the game? You call them or somebody else calls them?
Zim calls them. I don't call anything. Huh? I don't call anything. Zim calls them.
No? Who calls the defenses?
Zim.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Zimmer. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, that was Harrison Smith. We'll take a quick break here. Come back. We'll take your phone calls. If you're not in line, do it right now. 651-989-9226. Back right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Eric Escala. All right, we are back. Sid, before we take the calls, you had something you wanted to wish a happy birthday?
I want to wish a happy birthday to Marty Davis of Cambria. His grandpa was 100 years old the past week.
Well, can you imagine somebody being 100 years old?
Can you imagine being 100 years old? Marty Davis's grandpa was 100 years old last week. I want to wish him a happy, happy birthday and 101, 102, and 103. And Marty Davis's grandpa.
Remember now, Sid, you got to respect your elders when you talk to that guy. You got to respect your elders when you talk to that guy, so you're be
right.
Nice to him.
got a big grin on that one, Eric. All right, Ken and Blaine, you haven't set the Sports Huddle record, but you're approaching it. You've been on hold 48 minutes. Sorry about that. It's your turn. Go ahead.
Good morning. Of course, I'm disappointed with the Gopher volleyball loss, as I'm sure all Gopher volleyball fans are. But I had a couple questions. I was watching the Nebraska-Oregon game yesterday on television, and the announcers made such a big deal out of how the Nebraska coach, he has the offensive zone or offensive courts in six sections, and he calls every serve about what section he wants the serve to go to. And kind of wondering if Hugh McCutchen does the same thing. First I've really heard of that. And then secondly, when they announced that I was at the games on Friday, and when they announced the Nebraska's roster, I don't think I heard that they had a player from the state of Nebraska on that roster. I may have missed one or two, but I don't recall hearing that. And thirdly, the hitter for Nebraska is unbelievable. She has such power and accuracy that I'm glad she's a senior.
Well, yeah, I was there also at the for the Oregon game. We were trying to get Hugh on. It didn't work out this morning. We'll get Hugh McCutchen on the next 2 weeks. Ken, we will ask him about that. He was at a meeting that I was at, and the question came up about statistics in volleyball, and he said, yeah, there are a lot of them, and they incorporate them generously into their attack plan. But we'll ask them if they're that specific. We appreciate that. And, Ken, we appreciate your calls a lot of times on not some of the major sports that we tend to spend so much time on. I do want to go back to a text message because I think herein lies part of a problem. It says, Dave, I love that $49 season ticket idea. I would drop my overpriced $600 seat per season tickets and purchase the $49 tickets in a heartbeat. That'll kill them. They can't do that. The idea was advanced by people, all of whom were willing to continue to buy their season tickets between the goal lines, pay the premium, but are 65-plus, and we're saying, we look around, we see people look like us. We need to do something to get younger people in there. And I think the Gophers will take a serious look at a program like that, but not at the risk or expense of losing all their existing season ticket holders. Sid?
I don't know if they can solve this problem. They can't get the younger people interested in Gopher football. There's just too many sports in this town right now. I don't think it's going to make any difference unless they really start winning and start winning conference championships. It's not going to take there's too many sports. Now you got the Loon. They sold out everything. They got that to competition. That's going to hurt some sport, too, I think.
Well, winning, there's no question winning is going to make a big difference. But I do think that they're of a mind to try something radically different to try to fill some of those end zone seats. I also had a text message on my own phone from somebody who said, Dave, my seats are in the top row of section 235, which is on the border of the end zone. He said, and I do not pay that season ticket donation, which is kind of what I understood about a caller who maybe is in the end zone, and maybe that's where the line of demarcation is. We need to take a break. We're over here. We're going to continue with these phone calls in the next segment. We have Dave St. Peter coming up in about 10 minutes. Till then, we'll take some more of your phone calls, and we're way behind in text messages, and I've got a couple other things we want to talk about. We're going to try to squeeze that in the next segment. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Eric Escola. All right, we are back. A couple more phone calls to get to, some text messages, conversation. But, Sid, first of all, I know you want to say something about Starkey.
I can completely endorse Starkey. I got a very bad hearing problem, probably as bad as you can have, and Starkey has solved it pretty well. I highly recommend him. You go to Eden Prairie office, and Bill Austin or one of his assistants will really solve your problem, believe me.
Thank you, Sid. All right, let's go back. Then we'll alternate text messages and calls. Been on hold the longest would be you, Mike in Shakopee. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Sid and Dave. Just want to say, Sid, you said in your paper, I couldn't agree with more the other day, you had a column saying that the Buffalo and Green Bay games from earlier in the season are going to come back to haunt the Vikings. I couldn't agree with you more. And the Vikings in prime time have not shined, to say the least. For whatever reason, they've been disappointing, and that's an understatement. The defense hasn't been nearly as good as last year, but that offensive line has been what I said it was going to be at the beginning of the season. Is going to make or break their season, and their offense has been it's just too predictable. DeFilippo doesn't look like he really has changed much of anything. I see teams doing the jet sweep misdirections against the Vikings and having big time success. I never see anything coming different from the Vikings. They just don't have any creativity under this guy. But that offensive line, they're not going anywhere until they fix that, and that's been their problem. I don't know, going on.
All right, Mike, I think you had a chance to make your point. Appreciate the phone call. Eric, I want to talk a little bit. We haven't talked Gopher basketball. You were at the Nebraska game. Nice, nice comeback. Nebraska's a good team. They deserve that 24th in the nation. They had a big win last night.
Fantastic win. But can I ask a Rick Pitino strategy question?
You go ahead.
Because it seems to me in basketball, college and pro level, the three-pointer is the new thing. But at least on that game against Nebraska, Coach Pitino's three-point play was drive to the lane, make the layup, and get fouled. And I wonder how far the Gophers can go with that being their three-point play instead of a perimeter three-point shooter.
Well, we'll give Sid a chance at that, too. Sid, Eric's point is on the Gopher basketball, they seem to work toward the three-point shot less than a lot of other times as college basketball has begun to look more and more like pro basketball with the use of working toward setting up the three-point shot.
Three-point shot changes the whole game. Bob Knight has been definitely against the three-point shot because it turns games around in no time. You can be 15 behind and you start to hit three-point shots and it doesn't give a real how good the teams are. It's a different game right now.
Well, it's analytics again. They have looked at what happened. What's disappeared is the long two-point shot. Anybody who takes that probably gets benched. Interesting, I think beyond Kalsher, I'm not sure that the Gophers have a really stellar three-point shooter. And so you're not seeing the setting up the corners, although it's happened. They've won two games where Kalsher has hit that shot. I think they're doing less of it, and it could be a function of not having the personnel. But Sid, to Sid's point, if people sit up late enough to watch the end of the Timberwolves game last night, all of a sudden the 2 3-point shooters for Portland ended the game. Timberwolves were very much in that game, a minute and a half to go. Yeah. They were out of it with 30 seconds to go. It was because of the 3-point shot.
You're 100% right. It put the Timberwolves out of the game in a hurry. A guy hit one 50 feet.
Unconscious.
Unconscious.
You know, and they talk, well, the Timberwolves really didn't defend against it. He was like 36 feet away, you know, nothing but net. All right, one more caller in this segment, sure. GP, go ahead.
How about Wisconsin yesterday losing to Marquette?
Yeah.
Marquette was hitting the three-pointer shoe.
That's a big game in Wisconsin. We're here in Minnesota. We don't probably see that. All right, let's try to get one more caller in. Let's go to GP in Brainerd. Go ahead, GP.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
My question is, are the Glenn Taylor and the boys going to keep this current rotation with the Timberwolves? Because we never miss a game, and the excitement, even with Wiggins dialing it up. And this is a quick shout-out to Eric. Season greetings from Senator Anderson and Violet as they're sitting in the vehicle with me. I'll hang up and listen.
Give them my best. Always enjoyed seeing them down in Arizona when I went down there. Thanks.
Okay, all right. That's a nice comment. Boy, Eric, last night having Covington out of the lineup really changed things. Funny how important he's made himself so quickly.
Well, he brings some chemistry. He brings some of the same skills as Butler, but with not the narcissism. And so he's, I think, a great addition. He and Saric are great additions to the club.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Dave St. Peter of the Twins. And there's a rumor afoot that Sidibe may make one more appearance before the end of the show. Okay, I think that confirms the rumor. We'll be back right after this. Sid, Dave, and Eric Escala.
Just in time for holiday gift giving, it's Sidibe. Press his ample tummy, and he'll cough and clear his throat and say, huh? Just like Sid Hartman does on the radio. Pull the cord behind his back, and he'll invite you to join Dick Cullum in the Love It or Losers Club, call you a super genius, and scold you for supporting the women's rowing team. Sidibe for the marginal name on your gift list.
And send cash, check, or money order. Better make that cash to Hey Genius Productions, Medicine Lake, Minnesota. PJ Fleck, Thad Levine, and Chris Carr, companion figures, sold separately. Void were prohibited by law. I don't know, Eric. How many did we sell? Thousands?
Yes, but better make that cash.
All right.
I want to emphasize that.
Sid is looking irritated. That means it's time for him to talk again. Sid, say good morning to Dave St. Peter.
Dave St. Peter, always a pleasure to have you on. Mr. Pull, that is a lucky he's got you as President's Club. I'll tell you that. Are you going to make some deals down in Vegas?
Well, first of all, Sid, I'd love to get one of those Sidibears. That's a heck of a thing.
You're at the top of the list, Dave.
Exact. Great. I'd like mine signed by Sidney. You know, good morning, guys. You know, obviously, it's been been an active couple weeks for us as we try to, you know, start to take a look and attack our roster. I think we feel really good about the additions of C.J. Krohn at first base and Jonathan Scope at second base. There's no doubt that the right side of our infield, I think, is exciting, both in terms of what these guys have done in the past, but kind of where they are in terms of their careers going forward. So as we go to the winter meeting starting tomorrow, Sid, I think the focus clearly is pitching. I don't think there's any doubt that we're looking for some help, both, you know, certainly in our bullpen, but potentially even with starters. It's been an active time in terms of trade discussions. I know that. I know that there's a number of guys in our club and certainly guys throughout our minor league system that are targets for other teams. So I think we're trying to do what's right by the Twins in 2019, but also in 2020 and beyond. So I wouldn't be surprised, Sid, to see some moves made industry-wide, but it certainly wouldn't be surprised if that included the Twins here over the next couple weeks.
Dave, we had Wes Johnson on earlier in the broadcast, and I must say the breath of fresh air this brings to the organization, and it's just great outside-the-box thinking with Falvey and Levine. They're trying stuff, they're young, they're willing to experiment and go outside the box, and I would think a real fun part of your challenge now is going to be to kind of meld that traditional Twins approach with this new age deal, and I would think that'll be a lot of fun to put together.
Yeah, it's funny, Eric. You know, there were years people said, boy, the traditional Twins approach, you got to try some new things. Well, I can assure you, Eric, we're trying a lot of new things, but now people are longing for the traditional Twins approach. So I think Wes Johnson is going to be great, and based on a couple things. One, I think the relationships that he has with pitchers, his track record is really, really good in terms of being able to communicate and to be able to share information and ultimately grow performance. But he's also rooted in modern analytics and modern technology. We see that at the college level, maybe even more so than some of the minor league folks at traditional course. What they do around TrackMan and StatCast and just some of the ways that pitchers now are trained is much more evolved, I think, sometimes at the collegiate level. Wes Johnson, certainly one of the more skilled guys in America coming from the University of Arkansas. So we feel good about that ad, and we think he's going to be a difference maker for us at the big league level for years to come.
With the velocity emphasis of Coach Johnson, does that change the way you look at free agents or the way you develop youngsters in the farm system? How's that going to work?
Well, I think, certainly the game has shifted, long before Wes got here in terms of velo and what's going on there. So we do think he's had some success there with guys, and certainly that's going to be part of that. And he's an active voice within that space, along with, others. Jeremy Hefner, who's our assistant pitching coach at the big league level, as well as a number of people throughout our minor league system. But there's no doubt, Eric, that velo is a huge part of the game now, and we need to find ways to continue to have guys grow and develop in that space.
Hold your executives on hiring is Wes Johnson, a college coach, as a pitching coach.
Well said. I think, I'm not sure I understand the question, but I will say that Rocco Baldelli, who obviously is our manager, wanted to really surround himself with a coaching staff that had balance. And, Wes Johnson obviously is a guy that doesn't have any professional experience, and then all the way to a guy named Bill Evers, who comes and joins us as a major league coach, who has all kinds of professional experience. So I feel really good about the staff that's been put in place. They had a coaching summit in Fort Myers about 10 days ago, and I can tell you the work that's been done going into next season and frankly the approach we're taking on every single player excites me. It gives me a sense that we're being very proactive in trying to unlock the talent that we know we have on this club, and that goes well beyond Buxton and Sanoa, but certainly those are two of the guys at the forefront.
Dave, I want to congratulate you. You got a nice award from the Positive Coaching Alliance the other day. Well deserved. Then two questions. First of all, what's the over or under number on Sid's learning how to pronounce your new second baseman? And then a text question, which was, this was a real interest to me because I'm a voter. What do you think the chances are of Cesar Tovar or Mudcat Grant ever getting into the Twins Hall of Fame?
Well, I'm Jonathan Scope said, just think mouthwash. Just go with Scope. I think you could figure that out. But, on the Twins Hall of Fame, obviously one of our annual traditions, that vote is now in the market, so to speak, with the baseball writers and a few other select people that have votes. Mudcat Grant, somebody that I routinely vote for, Dave, as well as Cesar Tovar. So I'm not sure that the voting electorate, so to speak, appreciates those guys. And I think, other names are probably going to emerge at the top. I would guess Joe Nathan is probably the favorite. But it probably means that we should be looking as an organization and maybe another method to get some of those guys consideration. Maybe a veterans committee, so to speak, is required once every 5 or 10 years around the Twins Hall of Fame. And that's something we're taking a look at.
I think that's a good idea. Remember, we put together something for Camilo Pascual about 5, 6 years ago, Dave, and how pleased and proud he was because he thought he'd been forgotten under the very circumstances you just outlined. Sid, any additional questions for Dave St. Peter?
Yeah. What about your remodeling of Target Field? Have you got that done?
Well, so no, we don't have it done. We're in the middle of construction. Of course, we're redoing Gate 34. We're adding more throughput there for all kinds of reasons. And then we're going to have a new market area with that's going to be a new destination inside of Gate 34 right there in Wright Field. So that work is being done by Mortensen, Sid, and it'll be done in early March. Of course, we opened the season on March 28th at Target Field. So we're excited about that project and, continue to find ways to make the ballpark better.
Dave St. Peter, always a pleasure to have you on the air with all the good information. And for being on the show, Tim Murray, always nice to when you come in. Have a good trip in Vegas. Don't lose too much money, though.
All right, guys. Happy holidays to you all.
All right. That's Dave St. Peter. I'm going to give the phone numbers. We'll, if anybody wants to get involved, we're going to have a little conversation as we wrap things up in the final 5 minutes or so. If you want to be part of that, this would be a good time to call us, 651-989-9226, or you can text us at 818-07. We'll do all of that right after this. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Eric. Bring back memories, Eric.
Yeah, this is how I got out. I chased Sid up and down the skyways. But I did it my way.
You did it your way. Yeah. If that exists, we want you to find that.
I'm going to find that, yeah.
All right, let's take our last caller here, probably our last caller, Pete New Brighton. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey. So today we have a great thing happening. We've got two football games. They're going to fit great offense versus great defense, Chiefs and Ravens. And, of course, tonight, Bears and Rams. Because I've heard more guys say to me, oh, you know, the new wave, you know, offense rules and all that. So I just want to see, because I've heard this before. What do you guys think? I think defense is going to win the game today. What do you think?
Well, I tell you one thing. I love watching the Chiefs. They have won me over. I think they are so much fun to watch. And, you know, if you like 52 points a game, they're your team. They also play defense, but they do it quietly because their offense is just so incredible. And I always think, little Twins connection there with Mahomes at quarterback.
Well, you need to have the personnel to play that lights out that Glenn Mason was talking about, that run-pass option and all that. Not every team can do that with the personnel they have.
Sydney.
What about the Vikings?
No. He's talking about the other games on TV today and kind of matching the new style offenses against the traditional defenses. And if you're a football fan, it's a fun afternoon of football on television. Fun weekend.
Weekend football?
Well, yeah, this weekend is fun to watch.
Yeah, talk about say that again.
We'll go on to something else. All right, I've got a text message. Boy, somebody was not buying what Wes Johnson and Dave St. Peter said. I don't know if this person is speaking for the fans. They said to me, it just sounds like the same old, and it looks like a rebuilding year for the Twins. They've been dumpster diving. So, do you think the Twins are dumpster diving, or do you think there's actually hope for the Twins?
Well, I think the guy's right. I mean, so far, they haven't gone all out to try and sign a big-time free agent. That seems to be the policy of the club. These two guys they signed didn't have a very good year last year, but the one guy, the second baseman, did very well at Baltimore.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. He had 32 home runs, and he, I think he made the All-Star team.
Yeah, well, he did. What's his name again?
And maybe if he if he can regain that form, it'd be good. If you don't, what's going to happen to the former Twins second baseman?
Dozier, he'll sign a one-year deal with somebody for not a whole lot of money.
There, I don't think
he picked
will.
A bad year to be a free agent because second baseman, there's a glut of second baseman on the market. Eric,
remember with a 162-game schedule, you enjoy the journey, not necessarily the destination.
All right, we've got 1 minute to go here, Eric, with that bit of wisdom. When are we going to get an elected officer who's going to get involved with this show again? We used to have Tim would call in, Tim and Egan. What do you know about the new governor? Is he going to be good for some sports calls?
Well, Tim from Mankato is a former high school football coach.
That's what I'm thinking.
And he and I had a very interesting discussion about the Maryland Big Ten situation in football earlier in the campaign when he was on Almanac. We talked off camera, so I think he'll be in talking football as much as Sid will let him.
Sid, I got to interrupt you. That voice is Eric Escala. I cannot tell you how many great positive text messages we've had today. Eric's been on us for 2.5 hours sending those text messages and just filled up our lines with Eric. It's been a treat having you back. It brings back so many good memories of the Sports Huddle. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
And I want to thank our guests, Mark Coyle, Lindsey Whalen, Wes Johnson, Mike Zimmer, Adam Thielen, Brian Lawton, Glenn Mason, Harrison Smith, Dave St. Peter. Thank you for your contributions. We'll do it again next week. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, Eric.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.